Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from that YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and joining me, not in the room, but virtually and digitally and thanks to the modern age, it's Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello everyone.
Should we be honest and admit the fact that this isn't the first time we've recorded this podcast today?
Yes, we should be honest that this is the second time.
I'm so sorry, Tony.
First time's in my kitchen.
Yeah, I apologize.
Now I'm in my living room.
Look, it's a brave new world out there. We're all trying to discover what our lives during the coronavirus crisis look like. And I royally messed up the first recording of this podcast. So I'm apologizing to Tony because he's having to sit through my crap chat all over again. But we're doing it, you know, for you guys, for you listeners, for you viewers. So yes, if you're watching here on YouTube, welcome to Behind the Glass during COVID-19. Please make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes of Tony and I conversing via Skype or Zoom or however we decide to do so. And if you're listening, please make sure to keep following on whatever audio platform you're listening to us on. So yes, Tony, I'm so sorry, but welcome back. Thank you again.
No problem.
Thank you for finding the time.
If you see some hand gestures at any point, that's my daughter just coming in the room. So excuse hand gestures.
It's going to be like one of those BBC News interviews where midway through your daughter comes and climbs all over you and distracts you from the podcast.
No, she won't. She won't do that. But
does she have an Instagram? So she, no, she's three. She doesn't have Instagram, does she?
No.
Hey, I don't know. These kids these days, they like social media. They like their apps. I don't know what age it starts. I don't have a kid.
Not free, mate.
Can you have a proper conversation with her? Like if you were like, what do you think about the fact Bojo's gone into hospital?
Who's gone into hospital?
Bojo. Sorry, that's Boris Johnson.
Oh, Boris Johnson.
In this household, we've started calling him Bojo.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can have a proper conversation with her. I mean, she doesn't know who Boris Johnson is, obviously.
Obviously.
So,
okay, but yeah, you can talk about educated. Baby Shark and Princess Sparkles, and then she's all in the room.
Yeah, and what's the pig one?
Peppa Pig.
There's a Peppa Pig. Yeah, she loves that.
Bad that I don't have a kid yet. I know that.
You know more than me, yeah.
Anyway, look, let's dive into things because it's been an interesting week, even though not much has been going on. And I want to hear about what your life in isolation is like. But I've got to kick things off with the fact that last night you made a royal tit of yourself I feel like I've educated you about social media over the last few years, but somehow you got it so wrong. And I don't know what to call it, whether you got into a Twitter spat or what, but Chris Harris, as in Top Gear Chris Harris, made a fool of your T-Dog because you were saying something and then you were DMing him something else. And I was like, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah, it was cross wires. One of them things, boy.
I mean, honestly, like I think when we first met, I said, look, the few things you need to know about social media, like, you know, just be honest, be true to yourself, and then don't slide in the DMs. You're always going to get caught out. And, you know, I was hoping that if you did get caught out, it would be like sliding into Kylie Jenner's DMs or something, but no, it's Chris Harris from Top Gear. Anyway, we'll move past it, but that must have been an exciting end to your week. What else have you been up to? What apart from being bored and stirring things up on social media because you're bored, what else have you been doing?
I think that is literally what I was doing. I was just bored. Well, actually, to be fair, I had quite a nice weekend. Actually, I spent some nice time with my daughter, time that I don't normally spend, obviously, because I'm always at work. So, yeah, I've spent a nice couple of weeks with her. And I cooked a barbecue yesterday.
No, you did not.
Yes. I mean, I cannot cook, as in kitchen.
I think I knew that.
I am good on a barbecue.
Well, because all you have to do is put some meat on a hot thing and sit back.
No, that's not what you've got to do. You've got to make sure it's cooked, mate. I mean, I cannot give people... I mean, we're all fine. I mean, it's not the first time I've done a barbecue either. But
okay, no one's been on the loo all day.
Do you know what it is? I had a nice glass of red wine on the side, and it was a nice day. South-facing garden, blah, 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 bish, bash, bosh.
You sound like you're on some TV show with Phil and Kirsty. A lovely south-facing garden. I don't know what way my balcony face. I don't have a garden. I have like a, it's not even a terrace. It's like just a ledge. And I have no idea what way it faces. And whenever I go out there, I feel awkward because obviously living in central-ish London, all the houses are so close together, so we look out onto other houses looking back at us. And so whenever I go out there, I feel like I'm stepping into my neighbor's gardens. And I tried to film a segment earlier in the week as an intro, and I was like, so everyone, welcome to Seen Through Glass, because I was so embarrassed about being out there and filming and making noise.
Well, I mean, you must see some naked people in the window at points.
Oh, well, they must see some naked me, because I'm going to be honest, I don't really like wearing clothes, especially not during isolation. So I feel sorry for my neighbours. They've definitely seen a bit too much. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, funny that you should say that, you know, you did a barbecue, because hashtag what else you got to do. But yeah, I feel like I'm kind of doing things that maybe usually I don't feel like I have time to do, because suddenly... we've got all this time. So I've been trying different ways to make coffee because that's what excites me. And I've been trying different beers, mate. Look at me having the beers.
Very good. You turned into a man for a change.
Yeah, well, I had one and then I passed out for 2 days. Vicky, come find me in my makeshift studio. Are you all right? So I think I'm hungover. So it's been depressing. But yeah, I'll be honest. I've said it before on this podcast. I'll say it again. I struggle with this whole isolation thing. Of course, I'm trying to take advice as strongly as possible. I'm staying inside, only doing emergency journeys, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I find it tough. I don't really know what to do with my days. I'm trying to be as proactive and productive as possible. But my life is usually going out and creating content. And I should find ways to be creative within this house or flat. But I just, you know, I don't get as inspired. So how do you, you've got to try and stay on top of your business, I imagine, Tony, in whatever shape or form. Like, are you quite good at that? Can you find stuff to make yourself busy? Or do you find yourself scratching your head at times too?
Yeah. So, I mean, criticality at the moment for businessmen is just trying to keep your business alive. I mean, it's tough times at the moment. So, and who knows what's going to happen in the future when this is all over. So, we have to be ready for that. And, you know, I'm sure we will be, the workers will be, and, we will rise again.
We will rise again. Well, look, I think before we move on to the car chat, which is what Behind the Glass is supposed to be fundamentally about, but never seems to actually be about, just to say that both Tony and I, our thoughts, of course, with anyone that's been affected in whatever way by COVID. And of course, we're hugely appreciative here in the UK of the NHS and any other key workers. But of course, all around the world, I think, you know, we're aware that we've got international listeners and all over the world, people doing amazing work, whether it's delivery men or cleaners or whatever. But of course, health and medical staff. So yeah, a bit of a round of applause. Where is it? There's a button on here somewhere. Nope.
Not that one.
Sorry, those buttons are just my worst nightmare, aren't they? I've got to label them up. Apparently, this podcasting desk came with little labels I could stick on those buttons so that I don't keep messing them up every single week. But anyway, yes, come on, Tony, let's get into it. Cars, car chat. Because yesterday I released a video, which is the first installment in a new series I'm going to be doing called Time to Buy? Which is supposed to look at sort of supercars or at least sports cars that have theoretically had their biggest hit of depreciation. So now they represent quite, you know, attractive ownership propositions. And I drove a car that you've been talking to me about for years, the V12 Vantage S. Tony, you've been texting me going, oh, Sam, that's a great... No, I'm joking, of course. Tony never texted me about Aston
Martin. I was going to say, that was not me.
but what I wanted to quiz you on, is also as a way for me to help plan my future content, is, you know, what cars out there do you think, you know, now represent quite a good proposition? And I'm not talking about hashtag coronavirus prices, because as you say, there's so much uncertainty. let's go back a few weeks to when the world wasn't such a horrific place. And the fact that, you know, a McLaren 720S, they've been what? Sub 200K now for what, 3 or 4 months, if not longer? And what an insane car for that money. So yeah, prior to the current scenario, what cars were you kind of looking at going, as a car, that's pretty good bang for your buck?
Yeah, well, the supercar market's been, for a better word of phrasing it, on its arse for a while. I mean,
no messing around.
Entertainment.
But the prices have been weak and falling for quite a while now. And, you know, at that price point, at that 150 grand price point, obviously the 720S comes in. Get 488 coupe for that money now.
No, 488 to 150 odd?
Yeah, like a 16 car with 5-7,000 miles on it. Whoa, a kind of 150, 160-ish.
Do you think the world went a bit mad in terms of, you know, how much people were charging for these cars? I was looking at the other day, I can't remember what stats I was looking at, but I think 996 GT3 or maybe a 997 GT3 was only just over 100 grand, you know, and that's not that long ago. Well, suddenly now, you know, specced up, what, 488s were what, 230, 240? Help me out.
Yeah, 240 specced up ones.
Do you think
yeah.
that was just too much? Do you think, you know, cars fundamentally, you know, shouldn't have really ever cost that much, or that's just the way the world is slash was?
Well, to be fair, I know probably not really in your recent generation, cars have always, especially supercars, have, you know, we've been a bit funny times where they haven't really lost the money that they used to, but now they are doing what they used to because there's a lot of them. And the thing is, the reason why there's a lot of them is because they're so easy to buy now with finance and whatnot. I mean, we all fund our cars, whether you need to or not. Most people fund their cars because it makes sense to do it financially. So it makes them more accessible, which means there's more of them, which means the manufacturers make more of them, which means they devalue. So, and there's a lot, as we've said before, there's a lot of manufacturers in the market. So they're all competing with each other, which also drives prices down. So, when you look at that price point as well, I mean, Performantes are that money, sort of 150, 160 now. Not 150, but they're 160, 170. We spoke about this before. AMG GTRs are 100 grand.
Oh my God, that is a sweet car for that money.
For sure, yeah. I mean, it is still a supercar, and our old cars, 570S and 540s, you know, they're under 100 grand, and they're full on supercars. So
now, I mean, the funny thing is when you come into that, I mean, obviously, we can bring up my 360 again, just as long as you promise not to take the piss out of it. But not that long ago, there was a long question about, you know, what Ferraris can you get into sub 100K? And my car, 360s, range from, I don't know, 50 to 70 or something like that. But when you compare that to a 540C or even a 570S, maybe even being only 10 or 15 grand more, I mean, what are people doing buying 360s? Do you know what I mean? Like I get it. Different horses for different courses. And I'm the one who's ended up in a 360 from a 540. But I just think that now the values of used supercars are so kind of all over the place that why would you go and buy a RS6 or a Taycan or, I don't know, even a brand new R8? I think that's maybe a more appropriate comparison for 120 grand or something like that, when you can go and step into 570s or 720s for not much more, not much less.
Because most people that have got supercars have already got an RS6 or a Range Rover, mate. You know,
yeah, that was a bad comparison,
normally their second car.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just in talking about actual new supercars. I think, you know, if you were going to look at, I'm trying to think of a good example now of like a modern new car where the previous generation or sidestep, like why would you go and buy a 570S now? Why would you do that? A brand new 570S. Why would you not buy a used 720S?
Well, can you can you buy 570s? I don't think you can anymore.
I don't know. Why does this always come back to McLaren with us? It's such a it's not the example I meant to say, but you're like, you can't go and buy a GT3, so that's not an appropriate example. Okay, Huracan, like, yeah, a brand new Huracan Evo must be 200 grand, right? Specced up?
And a bit more, mate. 230, 240. I mean, they're a lot of money now.
And so you could get an Aventador for that?
You get Aventador S. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, awful car. Yeah. An Aventador. People know that. I don't think that's very good, that car. It's a totally different machine, but that's why McLaren are such a good comparison, because 570 and 720, they're fundamentally not too different. The cars, both carbon tubs, very similar engines, etc. But the 720, much bigger and much better, at a similar value. And there's not too many other manufacturers that offer that kind of comparison in terms of price point and product. But yeah, it's just been something that's kind of been weighing on my mind, and I need to come up now with a list of cars to look at. I think R8 V10 Plus manual, like, what an amazing proposition that would be right now at 60 odd grand. We've talked about that car a lot before. Talked about the NSX a lot before. I definitely want to have another go in one of those. GT3 is a really interesting one, because 99... So annoying, all the 911 marks. 997.2 GT3 RS is more than a brand new 911 GT3. And I'm just a bit like, well, where's the value there? I would say in the brand new GT3. The brand new GT3 is always going to be a better car than the 997 3RS, in my mind.
It's a better car for sure, but...
Is it the car you want?
The 997 GT3 RS would be a lot rarer, so...
Yeah, and it's a more analog feel.
It's more money.
Yeah, so I get it, but I'm excited for this series because of these questions that we can ask, and also for the opportunity to come and turn up at your at Gravelwood with cars that I know you're going to go, oh, what are you on about? Because fundamentally, if you don't know this about Tony, he doesn't care about cars that are more than a year old. He just sees them as stock from a personal level. He's not interested. He just sees it as something he can sell. So that's why he doesn't really care. It's just a business proposition for him. Anyway, to move on from that series, which, you know, hopefully will be coming to your screens once lockdown is lifted. Actually, one I have to say before we move on quickly, the 1M, because you've got that 1M in stock actually at Gravelwood, don't you? That's an interesting car. That's a car which, price point, well, you can tell me better than I can tell the audience, but, you know, it's been a solid, what, 35 grandish for a few years now.
40 grand-ish, yeah.
Sorry, I just devalued the car.
40 grand
stock. But what a great proposition. Like, what a cool car.
It's a very good car. It's actually probably the only thing that me and Chris Harris agree on.
Hey, do not stir the pot again. You are a liability on social media. I thought, wrestling you away from the bad influence that is Archie Hamilton, you would calm down a bit. But you're getting cocky again now. You're getting too big for your boots.
No, I'm joking.
I know you are. I think most people do as well. But let's move on, because I had a very interesting few days at the end of last week where I got invited to take part in my first ever esports event, which is going to be happening tomorrow. Actually, we're recording this on Monday, and it's going to be taking place tomorrow, courtesy of Infinity and their tie-in with the Renault F1 team, and this is Renault Sport. So yes, I mean, I've got to go and find my PlayStation in a second. I actually don't know where it is, and download Gran Turismo, but I'm going to be going up against Esteban Ocon, actual F1 driver Esteban Ocon, and a load of other sort of professional gamers and streamers and influencers. I'm destined for failure. But I wanted to speak to you, Tony, because this is a thing now, isn't it? Esports, I guess, whilst real sport can't happen, so many places, and especially motorsport, are turning to the internet and to games. So did you catch yesterday's F1 esports race, and what are your thoughts on esports?
I mean, I did watch a bit of it, actually. I didn't know it was on. Someone messaged me and said it was on. Just give it, see what you think. And I mean, it was a bit weird. I mean, Leclerc, whatever his name is, Leclerc, absolutely launched everyone. I mean, he was miles ahead.
I mean, I just Jensen love to Button think that he's been, like, this, like, just dark horse talent that is going to destroy F1 when he gets the chance, because he's even doing it on computer games.
Yeah.
What were you going to say about Button, poor guy?
He was at the back of the medical car. Yeah.
I mean, do we think he cares? He's just one of the coolest cats in the business, Button, isn't he? I mean, hasn't he just had a baby with his model girlfriend?
Yeah, I think he's such a nice bloke as well. I think he's got quite a lot. I mean, I've never met him, but from what I can see, I've heard interviews. Sorry?
You should slide into his DMs. That goes well for you.
Normally it does, yeah. It always goes quite well.
But did you watch the whole race or you just dropped in? What, like?
No, so I watched a bit of it. It was really weird. Like, I didn't really know what to make of it, really, because the commentary was good. That's what made it like half real. But yeah, apart from that, like Leclerc at the front, but yeah.
I think if they're going to do it, they should have the drivers, like the Twitch stream or whatever, the microphones for the drivers on the broadcast, like team radio, but almost like active, because that's kind of where you want the banter. Like if you watch Lando Norris's streams or Max Verstappen streams or anything like that, it's the kind of interaction between the drivers during that stream that makes it so funny. Like, oh my God, you punted me off and blah, blah, blah. And I saw something where I think Albon hit somebody and George Russell was like, oh, it's like Brazil all over again or something. I don't know what. But that would make it, I think, exciting. But as a viewer, as a fan, I'm not that interested.
No, me too. I'd be, like I said, I'm not as big of a nerd of F1 as you. But if they started playing football on FIFA and putting it on Sky Sports, I mean, I'd be fuming. I mean, it's not a thing.
You'd be fuming. Okay, so if they went every single, like Tottenham's proper first 11, is that right? Like senior team?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Going up against Liverpool. It's all the actual real players, but they're playing on FIFA and John Motson, if he's still alive, is going to be commentating. Look at me and my references. You wouldn't watch it. You wouldn't care. You'd be like, whatever. Give a crap.
No, I'm not watching that. No way. I mean, it's not competetive, is it? I mean, it's not real.
Yeah, you'll be watching Peppa Pig with your daughter. I think it is competitive, actually. Sorry, I just picked up on that. I think it is competitive.
Well, not FIFA. I mean, no. I mean, F1 might be a bit different because you've got proper Sims, not PlayStations, which you're going to play it on. I cannot believe what I'm hearing, that you're going to be racing people with something in your hand. I mean, that won't
be
the first time.
Hold on. Hold on a sec, that went a bit weird for a moment. To clarify, a controller, Tony, can we just say? I'll be having a controller in my hand. Well, yes, I realised that I'm going to be going up against people with like full Sims, and I'm going to be there with my little controller being like, hey, guys. But in esports, I take esports, I see it. I see the potential, I see the opportunity, I realise it's huge. And let's not even get into like streaming of Call of Duty and Fortnite, but just in terms of esports, like for Formula One, I can see the potential and the benefit in the terms that they can become test drivers, these guys, like sim drivers, like McLaren actual, you can use their sim, get these guys on, they're sometimes quicker than the real race drivers. So I see that, but I get, yeah, with FIFA, a load of guys sat around in a room with controllers might not quite have the same impact.
Yeah, I think the sim racers are obviously really good at sim racing. And in quite often at the top level, they're even quicker than the F1 drivers. But I think if you put them in an actual car, they would be so bad.
I'd be so intrigued.
They wouldn't be anywhere near.
You probably wouldn't have known this because this is a bit nerdy, but they used to do something called GT Academy, which was Gran Turismo Academy. So before esports, and it was an opportunity for the top Gran Turismo racers in the world to actually end up in a racing series. So you'd go through like heats and qualifiers, and then you'd end up getting into real cars. And I think the most famous or arguably the most successful guy who came out of it was that Jan Mardenborough. Have you ever heard of him? He was a cool young kid. Yeah.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
A lot of stuff with Nissan and things. And so I think that proved that sim racers or gamers could actually drive, like a few of them. But it is a different skill and a different ability. But in this day and age, when F1 teams can't go out on track, they must be absolutely hammering the sim hours. And if you've got a little kid who's quicker on a sim than Ocon and Ricardo, put him in the sim. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to be getting more. But I guess the question point being, he can't relate to what the actual F1 car's like, and his ability to analyze tire temperature and suspension wishbones and things like that isn't going to be the same as theoretically Ocon and Ricardo. So yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I think there's a huge difference. You know, I'd much rather be in a car than be on a sim.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I was trying to just go for like a drive. I set up a thing on what was it? Anyway, I've completely lost my train of thought. I mean, that's because it's time for a break. Basically, I need a drink and I lost my train of thought. So yes, we're going to take a short break while I refresh myself and put my brain back in gear. And then we'll be back to continue today's episode of Behind the Glass.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
We're back. I've had my refreshment. I've now got my trusty Sam Bucks mug ready to keep drinking. Do you know about Sam Bucks, by the way, Tony?
No. What is it?
My new coffee brand I'm going to be starting. I really don't think I'm going to be sued by Starbucks at all. It's not like I have the same logo as them at all. Just holding that mug up to the screen so Tony can see it. But anyway,
Where have you had that made? In China?
Yeah. Well, I hope not. Should probably disinfect it, shouldn't I? No, it was a gift from Vicky a few years ago. And just, you know, my little way of celebrating Starbucks even when I can't. So yes. Back on to automobiles. Moving on from esports, I wanted to touch on a few things, actually, which happened to me this week. Firstly, I went for my daily exercise, my short stroll outside, and realized that there are still a ton of cars in London, still a ton of nice cars. And it seems to be lots of people are using their nice cars for their urgent essential shopping run. Not quite sure whether that's on or not. But I saw a few things to discuss. Firstly, I saw a DBX. I'm pretty sure it was Merrick Reichman, the Aston Martin designer, driving it. But I saw a DBX on the road for the first time, and I don't like that car.
No, I mean, was he well? Was he
he was
on
well.
The side of the road waiting for a tow truck?
No, don't start, Tony. But purely based on visuals. To be fair, it was Vicky who spotted it. Like, top spot from Vicky. But yeah, just cruising around. I just thought, well, this looks a bit ugly and a bit fugly. And in a world that's gone SUV mad, I wasn't keen on that. And then another car that I wasn't that keen on. Oh, sorry, go on if you got something to say. But don't be too critical.
That's the car that's going to save the brand, apparently.
Oh, well, hold on a sec, actually. Because something we can discuss is that the Lawrence Stroll takeover was formally confirmed last week. I mean,
good.
Yeah.
in the center of one of the biggest recessions ever.
Good on him. Good on him for seeing it through. But they announced, they confirmed that Aston were going back to F1, which I'm a big fan of. And I have to say, like, we all know I'm a fan of this, and people are asking for us to do an Aston Martin special, but the problem is Tony wouldn't say a word, and if he did, it's going to be negative, so I don't want to put Aston through that because I love that brand and one day I will own one of those cars. But I quite like that there's new ownership, although I'm not certain it's going to go in the right direction and how genuine it all is. You know, good on them and go on Aston and Lawrence Stroll. But the DBX is still... but yes, another car I wanted to move on to so that Tony didn't completely ruin my credibility on this podcast was the new F-Type. I saw the new F-Type on the road. And this is a car that I'm so intrigued by and of course want to experience. I feel like I have to experience. But was just a bit like, I think it looks like squinty eyes. Have you seen pictures of it, Tony?
I have, yeah. I think it looks all right, to be fair. I don't think it looks too dissimilar to the old car.
Lots of it are similar. It's just that front and those front headlights and things like that. And maybe I'm too close. Maybe I've got too much of an emotional link to the old car. But I just loved that old car so much. And the new one, it's a little weird.
But I get what you mean. I mean, it does look a little bit like the Vantage, but I guess they always do a little bit. It's that kind of shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still going to be an attractive proposition, I think. And I don't know, it seems like a very early car and it was a convertible. Maybe it was a press loan to be out on the streets. But yeah, I need to see more of them to bide my time and suss it out. And I also need to have a go because apparently they are good and a big step forward. But I'm nervous about getting behind the wheel of it in case I don't really like it. I think it sounds, like all new cars, sounds a bit, we all know how great that old F-Type. Yeah. Do you remember when you came to pick up my old F-Type when we sold it?
Yes, I do. And I did I not ring you or message you like 10 seconds down the road and say, what is this noise?
You came to, and it was the first time I'd really heard it from the outside in London. I'd heard it out and about in the sort of wilds of Switzerland. But yeah, you drove away from it and I could hear the car for literally about 10 minutes. And you called me straight away and be like, what is this? And you were doing your cackle. There you go. Nicely timed. But yeah, I mean, that was so loud. But stock F-Type R's from the last generation sounded amazing in Project 8s and Project 7s. And because of the new regulations, I just feel like if they lose that sound, is it going to be the same experience? I hope so. I just don't know.
Yeah, unfortunately, obviously, a bit of passion has been dialed out of modern cars, full stop. You know, all manufacturers have had to do it. But there's not a lot we can do about it. Is this one?
Can you think of other like facelifts where it's only been a small step, but the newer car has been a bit of a letdown in comparison to a very popular previous versions? One make in particular is coming to my mind, but can you think of anywhere they've messed up the facelift?
Audi with the R8, mate.
Fair. Didn't see that coming. You think that, so when they went from that classic iconic launch shape to the kind of newer, more updated one that you and I test drove, actually, didn't we? Back for the My Next F-Type replacement.
No, I was thinking the one that we drove to the new car now, to the facelift now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Wow. So that's awkward. Yeah. Okay. So then you think it's a bit of a letdown, the latest version.
Yeah, the latest car. I mean, you know, it's quiet. It doesn't look quite as good. It's just a bit of a letdown. Maybe how you feel about the Jag, a little bit like that, really. Maybe
I was going to say before that 458 to 488. We know the 488 is obviously amazing, as we've discussed many times. You've earned 65 of them. But I think most people write off the 488 and think the 458 is a better option.
Yeah, until they drive them. When they drive them, they don't understand. But
We know.
It's a little bit like people that don't like Porsche as well. They just say, oh, it's just another 911. But as soon as you drive them, you then understand. So you need to own one and drive one, then you'll understand.
Fair. You know, this is the big thing, and I think I've experienced this a lot in my life as seen through glass, is expectations opinions, expectations compared to realizations. And I was definitely one of those Porsche haters, like for so long, like pre-seen through glass, I was like, oh, whatever, 911's like, oh, sorry, I just got a very, very loud WhatsApp. Let me... How do I get rid of that? It's Paul Wallace. Oh, what's he going to be on about? Anyway. Oh, he's not going to stop now. He's not going to stop. Hold on a sec. Let me tell him to stop because he's going to just text me for hours. Hold on.
Yeah, ping, 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 ping.
Yeah. So stop texting. I'm recording a podcast. Lol. It's pinging in the background. He's now going to send a ton of messages, isn't he? Sorry, viewers. Viewers are going to be like, what is going on? This podcast has gone to hell. But welcome again to Coronavirus Behind the Glass. So yes, I was a Porsche hater or just ignorer. And then obviously my first 911 was Mr. JWW's GT3. And I was like, oh my God, this thing's actually amazing. And whenever I release a video, I do still get lots of comments from people who I think make the assumption based on previous content or videos or articles they've read. Oh, here he goes. I told you. How do I stop that? Sorry.
Just put it on silent.
I know, but it's coming through on my computer. Okay, I think you
stopped. Oh.
Yeah. I think you stopped. Yes, the V12 Vantage, for example, I had so many people saying, oh, get a manual, before they'd even watched the video. I mean, honestly. Okay.
Go away.
Hold on. Let me just close this. What a douchebag. Okay, we're back. Sorry, everyone, about that. I really apologize. Like, that was a disaster. Tony, what's happening? This is the future of Behind the Glass. I'm really going to start getting depressed. I mean, come on. We've got to at least be able to record an episode without bongings going off and your kid running through the shot, which she hasn't done yet, to be fair. So bravo.
Yeah, I've locked the door.
What were we talking about, by the way?
We were talking about... Oh, flipping it. I've lost my phone thoughts now.
Oh, I've not got a clue. Anyway, should we move on to the next topic? Bloody hell, Paul Wallace. We're out to get you. Let's move on because I just have no idea what's going on in life. Because I want to discuss the fact that, unfortunately or depressingly, quite soon the Mini Clubman JCW, which I was lent by Mini UK, is going to be taken back by Mini UK. I don't know exactly when, because obviously during lockdown, I doubt they're going to be sending drivers out to collect cars. But I think the official date I've got to give it back is in about 3 or 4 weeks. So I have made a video, which is going to be going live on the main channel at some point, talking about my experience with that car. It's a bit of a rushed last minute coronavirus video. But in general, what I wanted to discuss now and try and get some of your thoughts, Tony, is what could replace it? Because it's quite a unique proposition, that Clubman JCW. It's circa 35 grand. It's a sort of size of a hatchback, but an estate. It's quick. It's usable. It's kind of discreet. And I would actually go and buy one, genuinely would, but I'm a bit like, there's something missing with it where I don't know if I've emotionally connected with it. And secondly, for that kind of money, what else could I get? Because that's always an interesting question.
Yeah. I mean, I quite like the Minis. We sell a lot of them, especially the JCWs and the Cooper S's, but they're like a little bit nasty inside, like a little bit cheap and plasticky inside, which is rare for a BMW, obviously, because BMWs are normally made well. But the Clubman, is it Clubman or Countryman?
No, Clubman. So I got the one with the two swinging doors at the back. You had a previous generation one in when I was last down at Gravelwood.
That's it. Yeah, we have. We've got it's called Oak Green. It's nearly black.
Have you still got it?
It's a dark green. Yeah.
So how much is that then, the previous gen? The one that you've got, do you remember how much that was?
I think it's 21 or 22 grandish.
Okay.
But like the one you've got, it's like absolutely full of it. It's got absolutely everything on it. So,
it's just out there. Like, cause what else could you, like, Golf R wagon? But I don't know why I don't find that appealing.
Yeah. The obviously the S4 and the C43 AMG, yes, both good of them.
Point. Well, but that's you're looking at used. Could you get one sub 40K on those two cars?
Yeah, definitely the S4, 100% the S4.
That would be a good car.
The C43 probably as well.
I want something kind of like...
BMW make something as well, don't they?
Yeah, BMW do they don't do an M, but they do like a M340i or something like that. That's probably on the new front. You could probably get a 335 as well. But yeah, I want something that's a bit of just a daily smoker. That's what I've loved about that Mini, because as you say, you sell a lot of them. I see a lot of them on the road. You're kind of discreet. Like, whilst it's a quick car, mine's bloody green with red stripes on it, people don't really care because there are just so many Minis everywhere. And it's been so usable and so easy and easy to park and all of these different elements that if I was to change, and I do need something to use as a daily because the 911 and the 360 are just too tucked away most of the time. Yeah, just, you know, what do you cruise around? What's your smoker these days? Or do you just take whatever's in stock?
I've always never really driven anything too leery. Full stop, really. I mean, I had a Amarok pickup truck as a
I remember the
as
Amarok.
A work truck.
That was back before you became a real big deal.
2 years. I just normally just drive whatever, mate. So some quite often I'll be in a Golf or Range Rover or
something comfy and usable.
I'm driving
right?
a Something just normal, yeah, yeah.
That's what I want. I just want something just good and normal. And I could go like super low end, do like the sub 10K little like Ivan the Volvo. But the problem with Ivan the Volvo, especially when I sent Vicky off in it, is that, you know, would she ever come back? Not in terms of I was doubting our relationship, more in the fact that would Ivan make it back? And so I wouldn't mind something a little bit more usable and sturdy, even if I was to lease something or get a, you know, a silly PCP deal. Maybe I just get the Mini. Maybe I just order a Mini. Like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a perfectly good car, isn't it?
Perfectly good car and just, you know, easy and usable. But I think no matter what, we should do a series again once lockdown is over. And we're going to keep, this is going to be a theme of the coronavirus specials, which is when lockdown's over, we should do a My Next Daily series, because people lapped that up last time.
And the time before.
And the time before. Well done. So we should draw up a short list, see what you've got in stock and anything else we'll have to go and borrow from people. And then maybe we can get some people to make some suggestions. We'll do a viewer suggested car. There'll be something out there like a Seat or something that somebody will suggest that we would never consider normally, but might surprise us.
Yeah, or the Focus ST is another one, isn't it?
Ooh, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that's a bit, like, I think that's a manual, isn't it? And Vicky can't really drive manual and whatever. I don't want it to bin it.
Manual only, yeah.
Yeah, I need something a bit more usable and accessible. So yeah, that could be a cool series coming soon. I think the My Next Daily, hopefully kind of June time, look into that. And then, yeah, I mean, oh, well, let's hold tight and let's wait and see. Now, I did ask a few people to submit some questions via Instagram with some topics for us to talk about, because we always like to try and involve you guys as much as possible. And I actually can't see his username, so let me just click here. Yes, Relevin app. Anyway. He said, what cars do we think right now could be future classics? Now, I think this is an interesting one, because there's lots of different ways you could look at this. Future classic, do you mean something that people lust after? Do you mean from an investment point of view? I think Tony and I have discussed many times, and I've definitely discussed on the main channel, we both think that investment car opportunities are dwindling. But what's a car that we're all going to go, that was a great car? Because you could look right now, and I think people seem to be really banging on about Gen 1 R8s. We do, at least on this podcast. So what are those? Now, Tony, do you remember a few years ago, I dragged you up north to pick up a little Renault Clio?
Yeah, was it a 182
Now, at that time, did I not say to you, if we weren't giving this away as part of a competition, we should hold on to this thing, because this is going to be a future classic?
And what happened?
No, it is. I mean, like, that people, I'm not alone. Like, you see that everywhere now. Oh. Just Google it. Jethro Bovington, I'm pretty sure, owns one. Like, it's a thing. Like, it is a thing. Yeah, don't act so surprised. I hate you so much. This is what I mean. These guys, stock, mate. Get rid of it. Just part ways with it. No point in holding on to that. Stock. Just get rid of it. So I know what you're like. What do you see? This is so not the right question for you, because it's so not the market you operate in. But let me kick things off. Bugatti Veyron. And I know your opinions on that. But the Veyron is one of those cars which I feel like in years to come, we will look back on and go, it was so ahead of its time. It meant so much for what a hypercar could be. It achieved so much. They lost money making every single one, that I think that's destined to be the next McLaren F1 or 250 GTO in future years. And I don't just mean price at auction. I mean in terms of desirability. Carrera GTs, for example, yes, they're going up in value, but it's the desirability factor more than the actual financial investment, I think. So come on, Tony, there must be a few cars out there that you think, you know what, that's a bit underrated, or that might be a classic. Like the 1M you got. I know you love that car.
So you spoilt my thunder a little bit. So the Veyron, yes, would be one. One sec, sorry.
Don't worry, your phone went off for a second. You're back.
So the Veyron would be one. But there's only about two people that watch this podcast that can probably afford it. So,
hi guys. So well done. If you want to invest in the show, let us know.
Hello. Yeah. The other one, I was actually thinking the 1M.
Oh, okay. So we literally said the same two cars.
I didn't think of the Veyron. You thought the Veyron. But sure. When you was talking to me, I was thinking, like, the 1M is, like, perfect. It's a 40 grand, rare. It's a BMW. When you look at old BMWs, they are a few quid now as well. I mean, you look at the original M3, you know, they're 100 grand, mate, or whatever. I mean, they're a fortune. Not to say the M1M will be that money, but it's solid at least. So,
and I mean, I think it harks back to a slightly previous era of Bim Bimmer as well. Like, people seem to enjoy what it represents, a true M car, it often gets called. I've got to have a go on one of those. I did try and come and film it, didn't I, before this all kicked off, but we just ran out of time. The other one that everyone freaks out about is the M3 CSL. Do you see the hype in that, or are you not really on that bandwagon?
I'm not on the bandwagon, but again, I do understand it because it's a rare M car, and it like the 1M, it's quite raw, and I mean, it's not fast.
It's a driver's car.
You know, it's raw, yeah, special, and a driver's car, yeah.
I have a bad history with that car on the channel because ages ago, my friend Wolfie went to collect one, and me and Wolfie's like banter, if you could say, is to like take the piss out of each other. That's from day one. Like, we just mob each other up. Actually, I haven't seen him for years, but anyway. And so when he went, I kind of forgot that I was filming. So I was just like, oh, mate, what is this car? Like, what have you bought? Because he'd spent like 50 grand on an old BMW that I didn't know anything about because I was uneducated. And people have still never let me live that down. Like, I still get hate. I still get messages from people going, yeah, but you slagged off a CSL, so piss off. It's a car that people are very, very vocal about.
Yeah, it's like almost like God status in the BMW world, essentially.
Exactly.
Another car as well, which has come to mind, which I actually owned and I sold it a few years ago, was the Escort Cosworth, which again are an absolute fortune now.
So I got in trouble when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, because you were talking about Escort Cosworth, and you know what I put on as an overlay picture?
What?
Sierra Cosworth.
You idiot. I mean, that is literally the biggest offence.
People just literally,
that's like having an affair with someone. I mean, you cannot do that.
Well, I think you've taken it a bit too far, but yeah, people actually ruined me. I wasn't really paying attention. I do think I know the difference, I think. Well, I do now. But yeah, that was an embarrassing moment. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. I'm not claiming to be the most knowledgeable guy in the world. I'm just an enthusiast, okay? So get off my case. But you know what's getting a lot of hype at the moment? And I think this is unwarranted in terms of cars that I don't think are future classics. The boxy Merc SL. So you know the one prior to the sort of, I don't know what they call it, the R129? Is that? No, I don't really know the Merc body codes.
Is it the W something?
W maybe. I'm going to Google it now on my phone.
Is it the W129?
But people seem to be getting kind of behind that at the moment. It's like, this is going to be the next, you know, next bit of hype. I personally don't see it. Okay, fine. I know Brabus did a Merc SL73 back in the day, which was basically the Zonda engine. Sure, I get that. But not like a SL, what would it be, 180 or 300 or?
Yeah, but yeah, it'd been a 300 or a 350 or something like that. Or 280, maybe.
Yeah. I'm wrong, but I know what you're going to say, but do you see the appeal of that car? Do you think that's a good car?
No.
No. No.
No.
No, but neither is. You must have driven one at some point. That would have been your era, wouldn't it? Coming up through the ranks?
Yeah. I mean, they really hit rock bottom. They were like 5 grand or something, like, yeah. 5 or 7 grand. But I mean, I have no idea what they're worth now. I mean, if they come back up, I don't know.
What happened to the Merc SL? Because at one point, what a car. Like, that was the 911's worst nightmare at one point, wasn't it? I mean, like, super attractive proposition, hard top convertible, like everyone and everyone's doctor seemed to have one, or everyone's dentist seemed to have one, and then literally kind of just died a death. Even long before the AMG GT came out, I think the SL seemed to die a death. Is that like, was it popular in the UK, or am I making it up?
It was, but it's not now. I mean, I don't even know if they make them anymore. I have no idea. I mean, I think there was a period of time
where they were super popular and super desirable.
No one buys them now. I mean, who buys them now? So, I mean, they're a bit of a nothing car, aren't they, really?
bit of a nothing car, but I think it's, yeah, it's been superseded by S coupes and AMG GTs and all of these sorts. So if they still make them, someone, can you please let us know in the comment section, why would you buy one? But I just feel like it was, at least when I look back at my teenage years, that was a car that I don't think was ever that desirable to me, but it was definitely a car that was right up there, a popular car. And then, of course, we had the SL65 Black Series. My good Lord, I'd love to have a go on one of those at some point, just because of how rare it is. But that was like celebrating because it was the ultimate form. Like, everyone wanted an SL, and here was the ultimate version of an SL. So, yeah, it seems like a shame that that great mark has kind of disappeared into the ether without any of us noticing.
Yeah, I remember in the early 2000s, I mean, every car dealer had an SL. Like, you know, as their weekend smoke. I mean, it was just one of them cars. But, yeah, it was never a car that I really enjoyed or liked.
No. Well, look, it brings us on quite nicely to our final topic of the day, which is actually AMG and AMG GTR related, a car which you could argue maybe just got rid of the SL for Merc. Because we talked about it a few times. We have teased it and someone reminded us of it on Instagram. The fact that you had a story to tell, a slightly unhappy story to tell about your experience with not necessarily the AMG GTR, but the sort of service or customer service side of things. So let's not dwell on it too long, because I know what you're like when you get on a rant, but remind me and us of what happened and then we'll go from there.
So I had a couple of problems with it. One being an electronic fault with it on the rear steering. I was stuck in Surrey for 5 hours waiting for a tow truck. When I get picked up, they took me to Brooklands Mercedes, their flagship store, which is, by the time I got there, was shut. I was then called a cab to go to Gatwick to pick a courtesy car up. But by that point, it was then 7 hours, and I said, just take me home. Just want to go home. Ended up getting home at 9 or 10 o'clock at night with no car. And then they couldn't fix the fault, because it was a software download and they couldn't get the information from Mercedes. And then the big one for me was obviously the brakes. Most of you know, do some track days and stuff. I didn't actually do hardly any track days in that car.
Even though it's a track-focused car.
Do you remember?
Yeah, we took it to Ireland, but it's a track-focused car. So taking it on track, not that you did that much of it, it should be totally fine. Like, it shouldn't bat an eyelid.
Bang on. That's right. And that's exactly what I thought. And I've probably done... I didn't do two track days. I think I'd done one full track day and then a half. Anyway, I ended up scalding the brakes. Apparently what had happened was it was the rear brakes essentially that actually went. The wire that gives you the sensor to tell you that the brakes are low had snapped and burnt onto the back of the caliper, which is why I never got any warning in the car. And I ended up metal to metal, pad to disc, and completely scoring the brakes. Front brakes were just about gone to metal, but I never had any worn in the car or nothing. And Mercedes, yeah, said, yeah, it's 13,500 quid to fix, please. And I obviously was fuming, and said, this is a joke.
I do.
This is your premium product car. Why am I having to put brakes on it? After I'd only had it 6 months.
At the time, you had done very little with it. Yeah, you had done, and these were ceramic brakes. Sorry if you've already said that, but just to reiterate, these should be brakes that last a while. Like, you know, and you, but I remember the shock and the kind of craziness of it is you, it's not like you'd had the car for a huge amount of time, done loads of miles and loads of track days. It should never have happened. And I remember you saying you'd spoken to Schmier, because at the time he also owned a GTR, and he was like, I haven't even gone halfway through my rear brakes, like how, or front brakes. Like, how is this possible?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then when we were speaking as well, I then spoke to Rentec, who obviously are a tuner, and they obviously said they knew it was a problem, Rentec, and that in Germany they were actually fixing them under the problem, under the warranty, because it was a known fault, and the fault was because of brake cooling. They had no brake cooling, unlike most of the other cars, which is why they were getting too hot and then wearing out really quickly, which is obviously what had happened. So anyway, eventually, after 4 months of fighting and quite appalling customer service, they did agree to I think I had to pay 1,500 quid or something. But I always said that I'd be happy to pay an amount of money. I didn't want them to do it for free. I just wanted some help because I thought it was ridiculous that their premium product car had fouled me that like that. So
I think that was it. I think you said it when we attempted this recording previously. That it wasn't the fact the car had gone wrong. Cars go wrong. Stuff happens. You know, if you're buying an expensive car, you've got to be prepared to sometimes shell out to fix them. It was more the fact that, unfortunately, there seemed to be no point of differentiation between you, someone who'd bought arguably their Mercedes's hero product, definitely AMG's hero product at the time, to someone who'd bought a used A-Class, you know, off an independent dealer and was taking it in for a service. You got treated exactly the same way, which I get that. They're a massive conglomerate dealing with thousands of customers. But surely, if they're going to try and sell cars that are close to 200 grand, they should have something on their system that flings up a bing, like AMG customer or premium AMG customer, or you should probably not piss this guy off because he spent a ton of money with you. Like, that was what was kind of hard to swallow, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, at the time, I had the 3RS and the Performante as well. And I'd actually done harder and more miles in both of them cars, especially the Porsche, on track. And the brakes were absolutely fine on both them cars. I mean, the Performante didn't really do any track days, but it done a lot of hard European road driving, and they were absolutely fine. So I couldn't get my head around how the competitors, the brakes were so good and the Mercedes was really that bad. So
yeah, and you just needed a human to say, actually, you're right, this doesn't quite make sense, let's look into it, rather than, well, sorry, mate, you've burnt through the brakes, you got to pay, which is kind of what it seemed like or how it felt like you were being treated, right?
That's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened, like, just like you were. And, mate, honestly, I had to, well, you know, I had to go right to director level.
Yeah, I love it.
In Germany.
I remember the time. We started off this podcast talking about your mistakes on social media. But that was definitely a time when you were like, shall I tweet about it? I'm going to tweet about it. And I was like, mate, if I just hold fire just for 2 seconds, like, you know, see what you can do. But I remember you were fuming. You were fuming and trying to work out what to do. And, you know, well done for resolving it. And I guess well done, Merck, for finally figuring out that there was probably something that needed to be addressed. But as a point of differentiation, the reason this all came up and this story came to our minds was a few weeks ago when we were discussing, do certain manufacturers have better customer service than others? And I think if you're spending close to 200 grand with McLaren, Ferrari, Lamborghini, Porsche, you feel like you've spent 200 grand. You get that added customer service. You feel sort of special and well looked after. At least that would be in my experience. I'm sure people are going to have other stories. Whilst when you switch to these more big time mainstream manufacturers, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, that still have big money premium products, unfortunately, from our experience, at least from your experience with Mercedes, you don't seem to get too much different attention or care from the customer service team. And that will be dealer specific, I guess.
Yeah, they don't get it. They honestly, they don't get it. And it's the same with the sales as well. Like if the free German brands as well, when they're trying to sell these cars as well, a lot of the salesmen, they don't get it. That, you know, it's not the same level of customer service.
Anyway, well, look, as I said, we're aware that, you know, there will be plenty of amazing dealers out there treating their customers incredibly well. So we're talking about our own personal experiences rather than mass assumptions, but something we definitely wanted to discuss and people were asking about. So there you go, Tony's story with his AMG GTR. I don't know how I'll caption that one up, but I will somehow. And that brings an end to today's episode, which is, yeah, the second time we've recorded it. But I think this was a guy. I feel like maybe, Tony, this was better than the first time.
Well, I mean, I don't know, mate. I mean, I lost track. I mean, we had a bit of interruption on this one, didn't we?
You fell asleep halfway through. So, yeah, anyway, well, look, we got through it. So I hope by next week I'll be better at this because it was my mistake. I know probably you would have thought Tony messed it up, but actually he didn't. He's pretty good at these nowadays. It's usually me and technical errors. So again, apologies, Tony. And I promise by next week, it'll be a much smoother process. Those of you that have been watching here on YouTube, I hope you've enjoyed it. Give it a thumbs up if you have. Make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes, including the bonus episodes, which I do midweek by myself without Tony and his dodgy stirring of the pot of social media. And if you're listening, make sure to keep following and listening on whatever audio platform you are listening on. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Stay inside, stay healthy, stay safe, and we will catch up with you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.